10 lepers. How many lepers? 10. We're crying out, hey, Jesus, over here, we've got leprosy. Have mercy on us. Scripture says this. Jesus looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, I just love this part, they were cleansed of their leprosy. See, as they obeyed Jesus and went to the priest, they were obeyed. And it wasn't faith. They weren't saved by faith. They weren't healed by faith. They didn't have any faith. They were obedient. And as they were obedient going to the priest, they were healed. One of them, how many? One of them, when he saw that his leprosy was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. How many came back? He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan, which made the irony even more being told this, because these others were all good Jews, and the Samaritan was the outcast, but he's the one who came back. And Jesus said, Jesus asked. Now, Jesus is, of course, the Son of God, and he doesn't need affirmation from people. He doesn't need approval from anybody but God. But he says, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Maybe you can relate again. You've made a great meal, and at the end, everyone gets up, leaves their plates, and don't say a word of thank you. You're in the middle of a traffic jam, and out of compassion, you let a car go before you. You notice that it has an OCC decal in the window, and they don't wave, they don't nod, they don't say thank you. They just cut in front of you. We've all experienced those emotions. We've all been taken for granted at some point, unappreciated, unseen. Clearly, Jesus did not heal these lepers for selfish reasons. But even Jesus, the Son of God, thought at least maybe they should come back to say, thank you. I want to show you 3 things to remember when you feel unseen. Every one of us feels unseen at times. Every one of us feels unappreciated at times. 3 things that you hold on to that will help you when these feelings come upon you. Here's the first one to remember. How they make you feel is not who you are. How they make you feel is not who you are. Now, intellectually, we know this. In our brains, we know this. But practically, we often have their reaction tied to our identity. When they show gratitude, we feel satisfaction. When they ignore us, we feel less appreciated. You know, you go all to your trouble and you cook this wonderful, wonderful meal, and they get up and walk away and nothing. You work just as hard. You put all your love into it, but they didn't appreciate it. One person stops and comes back in and says, that was a fantastic meal. Thank you. It's all worth it. Somebody appreciated it. Somebody realized what you'd done. And then that's something. It just takes one. That's the sort of happened. The Christmas story I told you a little early with my kids. I had expectations that the kids were going to really appreciate these toys that we had bought them. They were the new toys. They were the ones that were advertised, the ones they saw on TV, the ones they said that they wanted and they hoped they were going to get. But instead, they played with a stupid box. I'm 69. I shouldn't be over it by now. But we were adults, and we appreciated the fact that our kids were having a good time, and eventually the box would wear out and they would start noticing they have some toys to play with. So we were okay, really. But I can give you 2 examples from the same chapter of Scripture. Jesus was teaching in their synagogue. This is what happened. Everyone praised him. Oh, you know, he's the hometown boy. He's preaching in the synagogue. Oh, you did so good. I'm sure you made your parents so happy. Oh, you're much smarter than your brother. You know, they're telling him all the good things you hear when people do good things like that. You know, you've been to the school whenever they've given out awards, and they're talking great things about it. Oh, he's a wonderful student. Oh, this is a great person. They're telling Jesus how great he is. And so we're so proud that you're a rabbi. We're so proud you're from here. Oh, you do us well. You're so proud of you. So proud of you. But a few minutes later, Jesus says, hey, you want me to do these miracles everywhere, but prophet in his own town is without honor. And they said, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, they drove him out of the town. They drove him to the brow of the hill, which the town was built in order to throw him off a cliff. Verse 15, you're amazing. You're incredible. A few verses later, you're canceled. We hate you. We're leaving the church. We won't have anything to do with you. All in the same chapter. How they make you feel is not who you are. I want to tell somebody who needs to hear that this morning. Someone's inability to see your worth does not decrease your value. Just because there's somebody in your life that doesn't see your worth, it doesn't decrease your value. You know who you are. You know whose you are. And that what they think, good, bad, doesn't change your value. So your value isn't based on what others think. You are who God says you are. You're the son of a king. You're the daughter of a king. And if you're Christ, you do what God says you are. You are who God says you are. Scripture says, our God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Jesus Christ, he went to the cross for you, and he was raised from the dead. He extended grace to you. That's pretty amazing if you ask me, that God would care so much that he would send his son, and his son would come and take on the cross and die for you and really live again so you could have freedom and grace. That sounds like you're pretty important. You're not what others say you are. How they react does not determine your worth. You are who God says you are. You're more than conquerors. You are righteous. You're adopted into God's family. Second thought, important principle. Those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Let that soak in just a little bit. Those that you serve the most often appreciate you the least. Now, you'd actually think just the opposite, that you serve them more, they would appreciate you more. But see, they get used to you serving them, and they quit appreciating it. It's actually going to minister to somebody. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't notice you. It just means they take you for granted. And I'm going to show you the perfect example in the Old Testament, in the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. The Pharaoh got angry at his cupbearer. I don't know what his cupbearer did. Didn't hold his cup right. Didn't have his cup ready. I don't know. He's a cupbearer. Threw him in prison. And while he was in prison, he met Joseph. Remember, Joseph was a man of God and who was wrongfully imprisoned. And he interpreted a dream while he was there in prison. And the cupbearer witnessed this. And 3 days later, he told the cupbearer that he'd be restored to his role with Pharaoh. He interpreted his dream. And he said, remember me when you are restored to the Pharaoh's court. That doesn't sound like anything hard, does it? I just told you your dream, interpreted it. You're going to be restored to the Pharaoh's court. When you're restored there, remember me. When the cupbearer was restored to Pharaoh's court, he forgot all about Joseph. That was until the Pharaoh had a dream. And he was looking for somebody to interpret the dream. And the Pharaoh's asked the cupbearer, and the cupbearer says, I knew somebody who could do that. You see, he needed interpreting. The cupbearer was Joseph's friend. Joseph did the favor for him, but he had just forgotten about him. He did that because those you serve most often appreciate you the least. Sometimes you do things over and over and again for a friend, and they begin to take you for granted because those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. I appreciate Russell's comment and communion meditation about communion. I've taken dozens of mission trips to a lot of places in the world, and a lot of places in the world make do with whatever they have for communion. I remember on a White Mountain Apache reservation, we really didn't have much of it. We used a little saltine cracker, we broken up literally crumbs, and some grape juice that we had found that was actually has gone bad. But that's what we used for the Lord's Supper that morning, because that's all we had. Once I was on a mountain, 15,000 feet in the air, this little village, We were wearing coats. Down below, you know, it's Mexico in August. We were wearing coats, and they had a fire. We were huddling around it. Chicken were running around our feet while we were having our service in the house. And it came time for communion, and all we had were some leftover pizza crusts that we'd eaten on the way up the mountain and some grape soda. And that was communion. And each of those times, I could tell you more of those times, but each of those times I remember, oh, how I wish I was meeting with our church family and the ladies had made the bread and it tastes so good and the cup's in a clean cup and it's fresh juice and it's not spoiled, to be able to take communion together and focus on that together. Oh, how I took it for granted. Like we all do each Sunday morning. It's easy to take things for granted. Let me give you an example. When we were married, I was amazed how Linda kept the house so clean, because I was just out of college and basically a slob. I mean, I roomed with other guys. Guys get together. There's chaos. There's things on the floor. You know, how you pick your clothes you're going to wear that day. No, I can wear this again. Guys, you know it's true, right? You know it's true. And the place was a pigsty, but when we got married, Linda kept the house so nice. I mean, it was just immaculate. It was just, I always tell her, well, wow, the house is so nice. We had kids. Kids are messy. They leak things. They make a mess wherever they go. Their hands are always dirty. But still, Linda kept a great house. She kept going after the boys and made them. Matt is a neat freak at home. I mean, he's 40-some years old, and, you know, everything's put away. He's a bachelor now, and everything's put away, and it's neat. And I showed a picture to some people of what his tools look like, and like they're all on the wall, and they're perfectly set. I mean, he picked it up from his mom. He didn't get that from his dad. And I remember telling her, we did a great job keeping the house clean. And she keeps taking care of me. And there are times when I don't say thank you. Thank you. Taking such good care of me. You see, because it's easy to forget the people that are closest to you. It's easy to forget what they do for you and how they do for you and how often they do for you. Think about it. You come to work for 10 days at a time. I mean, your boss doesn't stop you in the middle of your work and say, I want to thank you for the good job you did today. You're thinking, what do I do the other days? I thought I did a good job every day. I mean, somebody just stops you and tells you to do a good job. You kind of wonder, have I messed up? Did I do something wrong? You know, are you amazed that I come to work at all? They expect you to come to work. They expect you to do your job. It's kind of a compliment with your job. When no one's hassling you at your job, no one's asking you about your job, no one's telling you what to do with your job, that's kind of a compliment, because they're saying, you know what you're doing. You know how to do it. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to follow up with you. You just do your job. That's great. However, those parents out there maybe who have kids who'd never appreciated what they've done for them, and that's normal. That's kids. Kids don't appreciate what they do. They don't know the sacrifices. They don't know the jobs you did, the late nights you're up making cookies when you just were told 5 minutes ago. They don't remember the trips you took to going to the school, picking, dropping off lunches, picking this up, doing. They don't remember that. Let me say this. Just because they don't notice now doesn't mean they won't notice later. Hang in there, moms, dads. When you feel unappreciated, how that makes you feel is not who you are. Serve the most, appreciate the least sometimes. Here's the third. What is unseen by people is often what's most significant to God. What is unseen by people most often is what's most significant to God. What's unseen by people, God sees. Unfortunately, the world's culture is just the opposite. People celebrate what they see. They don't celebrate what they don't see. They'll tell you congratulations on graduating when they see you walk across the stage. They'll say congratulations on your promotion when they see it on social media. They'll say congratulations on your house because they heard you bought a new house. But they won't congratulate on the many things they do not see that you're doing every day, like strengthening your character, which is far more important than buying a house. They won't congratulate you when you overcome your addiction, Because it's not on a billboard someplace, and you're not put on a stage and lauded for your strength and your ability to overcome that addiction. They won't congratulate you. Praise God, you forgave that person that was rude to you. But it was a real effort for you to do that. And it took years maybe to come to the point where you could mature and you could forgive that person who hurt you. Let me remind you that with God, what is invisible is often the most valuable. What is invisible is often the most valuable. It's not what others see that's significant. It's what is done behind the scene, out of the view of others. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Not to be seen by them. When you're loving and serving and when you're blessing, it's not really for recognition. It's for God's glory. He goes on, he says, if you do, you will have no reward from the Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it, like on your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever. Anyway, with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Verse 4, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Father who sees what is done in secret. And he sees your motives of your heart. He sees the sacrifice of your spirit. The Father knows the love that you have when you do these things because of your heart. The Father sees. The Father sees. The Father sees when nobody else does. Did you realize that one of the many names for God is Elroy? Not as in the Jetsons, okay? E-L-R-O-J. It means the God who sees. He's the Father. He sees what is done in secret. He's the Father who sees you getting up early, getting things ready for worship on Sunday morning. When everyone else is still having their toast buttered and still relaxing, maybe in bed, you're here for practice and rehearsal. You're here setting up, preparing communion. You're here making sure the front is ready to go. When people walk in the door and they're greeted and somebody smiles at them and opens the door for them, that's you. You sacrifice to do that. Nobody sees you do that. God sees you do that. He's the Father who sees you picking up trash after worship. Other people walk right by a worship bulletin sitting on the floor. Other stuff laying around here, laying around there. You pick it up and throw it away. Why? Because you have some pride in this building. Because this is God's house. And you want to keep it clean. Nobody else sees that. God sees that. He's the Father who sees all the study of God's word that you do. And your study, whether it's listening audiobook or whether it's reading in God's word, he sees you doing that. No one else does, but God sees that. He's the Father who sees you trusting in God's provision when the numbers don't match. And sometimes things get a little tight, but he knows you're going to be faithful still. He's the Father who sees you setting an example for your kids day in and day out because they're always watching. Whether that's your kids or your grandkids or even the neighbor's kids, they're watching. Why aren't we going to church today, Mom? Isn't today Sunday? Well, Mom's tired. Grandpa, aren't we going to go to church today? Well, I thought maybe we'd go fishing. But it's Sunday. They're watching. He's the Father who knows that you tithe faithfully, even sacrificially sometimes. You know, I got to admit, I'm bad. I don't mention that there are giving boxes at each of the doors. We don't take up an offering. A lot of people come in here, and there's no offering taken up, and they think, hey, cool. But we have to pay the electric bill, too, and the air conditioning that you're experiencing. And we have to pay for all those things. And some people just come in and say, hey, that's great. Somebody does that. But the somebody needs to be you, that you need to be faithfully, sacrificially giving. As God has blessed you. Elders and I had a discussion recently. We are averaging more people in worship this year than last year. Our giving is less this year than last year. What do you think our bills are? Greater than last year. You put those together, you don't see that works well, does it? We asked people to give to our building fund. Some people said, sure. They took half their giving and sent it to the tithe fund and half of it to the building fund. What happens in our tithe fund? comes up short. You see, we mean well, but when we sacrifice, God sees, because God is watching always. Please internalize this. Read this. This is from Hebrews 6. I want to read this to you. God is not unjust. Some of you need to hear this today. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. He will not forget. He is the God, El Roy. He will not forget. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. He sees, he remembers. How many lepers did Jesus heal? How many came back? So what did Jesus do after that? If you read on, he says, I'll show them. I won't heal anybody else. I'm not going to show them. They take me for granted. I'm just not going to heal anybody else. He didn't do that. That's what you and I would do. No, beginning of verse 15, one of them, the leper, came to Jesus, asked to be healed. He says, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. His faith in the obedience that he carried out in doing what he was told to do, his faith had made him well. Was Jesus taken for granted by the other 9 lepers? Yes. The healing of the lepers was done while they were on their way to see the priest. Jesus was nowhere around when the healing occurred. Jesus healed them in secret. What has Jesus done in your life in secret? There's nothing you experience in this life that Jesus hasn't been through. He understands. He's the Father who sees. He's the Father who knows what you do, even in secret. He is El Roy, the Father who sees. Never think you are serving kingdom work. Never fear that you are serving someone else that God does not see. Let's pray. Father, you see behind the scenes. You see the things that are done. You know the hearts when we do them. There are people who work in the parking lot and clean up shrubs. And we come here on Sunday morning and look at our parking lot and say, oh, isn't that great? The storm didn't hurt our parking lot. Yeah, it did. But Father, you bless the people who came out and cleaned up the parking lot without any request, without any big show. They served. We walk in and we say, oh, isn't it great that the building's clean, prepared. But people came in and served and did that. They were leaving here at 9 o'clock last night. They came in and they served. Oh, isn't it great? We have a great worship team today that leads us. Yeah, they came in this week too on Thursday and practiced. And then they came in this morning before you even got up and were in here practicing again. You see, we don't appreciate people sometimes who serve. And sometimes we don't feel appreciated when we serve. But God sees. God, you are El Roy. You see all. There's nothing we can do that we can hide from you. Father, let all the actions of our hands be for your glory. Nothing that we do for ourselves, whether it's practice or work in the parking lot or work here in the building or serve in some other capacity. It's not about us. Father, it's all about you. I pray that we have wrapped our minds around that. That we realize that even when we are not appreciated, that you appreciate us. Even when we're in secret, you see. Father, help us to grasp that this morning. Maybe there's someone here who's really struggling because they feel unappreciated. They feel like no one really sees the service they do. No one sees the sacrifice they do. But Father, we can say authoritatively today that you see. Help them to understand that. In Jesus' name, amen.